The Bible in Romans 12, when it speaks of how or what our worship looks like, it says, I urge you, brothers, in the view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your act of worship. Now, the part I'm focusing on is where he says, in the sight of God's mercy. What many don't understand is when we look at life, we then try to define the meaning of and how life works. But he says it so many times that the reason we're in a position we're in is because we failed. And we failed in his love, he offers mercy. Now, what this mercy is doing is getting us then so we can access that gift of grace. Nothing we've done. So we really have no say because we were all doomed for hell. Do you understand this? Okay. Because of the path and the choice we chose to sin. It's just the way it is. So then what does that mean? How does it look? How does this life look living in the sight of his mercy? Well, it then leads to how my actions work in this. Now, I've done a study on how works works, but this goes a little deeper, and it may be some repeating in it, but I think it's very important for us to repeat this in order for us to get an understanding of how it works. So the name of this order, my steps, is what I do allows him. Now, we understand God can do anything he wants, so his mercy allows us to allow him. Because if that wasn't the case, if he just wanted to say, we all be safe and life would go on, right? He gets to do what he wants. But part of this process is part of us accepting him. And in accepting him, it's not just going to be a feeling or some words I say. It's going to show in how I live. Now, pay close attention to this. Our spiritual walk is not something that we do on our own. That's the first thing you have to understand, okay? It's called a spiritual walk because it engages the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, which is God. And it is also not God just working on us while we do what we want. I know we like to think I'm going to live my life and continue living sin, do what I want. Man, he's in the background working on me. Now, there is some of that, of course, but the whole entire package still requires engagement. When I give that engagement to God, I'm giving him the allowance to work on me. Our walk is a combination that allows God to effectively work through our obedience to him. Our obedience displays our acceptance of him in our lives. You see that? So my obedience isn't what gets me to where I need to be. My obedience is a sign and or proof that I'm accepting him and allowing him to mold me in what I need to be. Let's see how this works. The whole meaning of life, first of all, is to live to do what he says. Ecclesiastes showed us that. Ecclesiastes 12, 13 says, now all has been heard. Because that whole book tells of the purpose of life and how life works and everything, and it comes down to this. He says, here is the conclusion of the matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole of man. Now, those who may not understand the word, because they hear commandments, immediately think he's just talking about the old commandments. But even in that case, now that we're under Christ's law, under what Christ is, and remember, Christ even said, if you love me, you will do what I command. All this comes to our focus and understanding of following him, right, to do what he would have us to do in order to mold us to be what we need to be. That's the meaning of life. We're living to glorify him, which ultimately benefits us. We are to live our lives in reverence of God to allow God to work in us. Reverence is, I want to make sure I'm doing exactly what he says, and I don't want to be on the wrong side of that. Philippians 2, 12 through 13 says, therefore, my dear friends, as you have always obeyed, that obedience thing, not only in my presence, but now much more in my absence, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. Now, do you see how he did that? Okay. He said obeyed, and obeyed is going to be that fear and trembling. I do everything because he said so. We've gotten to the point where I do things as long as I'm okay with it. we've turned the relationship with God as a partnership. And you do understand that's not what it is. You understand that he's Lord, right? We answer to him. And I want to make sure not only am I doing what he says, I'm doing it the way he says it, when he says it, how, and all of that other thing, all those other things. So fear and trembling means I'm checking everything. And he says, why? For it is God who works in you. In other words, I cannot, no matter how hard I try, make me better or make anybody else better. I cannot do it. All right? But the one who can says, this is how it works. He's working in us to will and to act according to his good purpose. See, if I did it, I'd do it to what I think is right or to what somebody else thinks is right. When he does it to what is truly right. This is synonymous to us getting medicine from the doctor. Our action is to take the medicine. Now remember, all I'm doing is showing that I'm in approval to this helping me. I'm not helping me. I'm allowing something else to help me. When and how it is directed. So I got to follow the instructions either with some need or without some need. So I got to do exactly how it says in order to allow the medicine to do its work. Think about that. Okay, so am I doing anything to fix whatever's in me? No. However, I'm accepting and allowing the something in me to work. That's how God works in us. He's not going to force it. God's grace offers his complete strength in our lives and is more effective when we allow less of us. 2 Corinthians 12, verse 9 says, but he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you. Now, hopefully you understand when he says sufficient, it is adequate. It is more than enough. It's all we need is his grace. Now, we say we know and we say amen, but we still live our lives trying to get other things to work with, along with, or to strengthen grace. That means you missed this. Now, you may say, well, do I not practice? Do I not work on? But see, the purpose will change. I'll now look at any talent, any strength I have, only to use it as he guides me. What I will not do is look at my strength, any talents, or anything I have, as if it's the part of me that's going to advance me or strengthen me. Because the minute I do that, I'm depending on me. He says, my grace is sufficient for you. We all should stop and go, okay, so what do you want me to do so that I can get out the way? That's why he says, for my power is made perfect in weakness. It's made perfect. His perfect power, in other words, then, is diluted, distorted, and weakened when we step in. When I give my strength, I'm actually distorting or weakening his power. That's why Paul got it and says, therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses. Why? So that Christ's power may rest on. So he wants to be known for is how weak he is in order to allow God. We got too many people who want to wow you with their strength, with their abilities, with their achievements. And you want to be wowed by these people. So we get these people and the great speakers and the things they say, and they give you this, not realizing they're very, very weak people. But if I don't walk by faith, I won't see that, and I'll be misled by what I think strength is. Now, allowing less of us is realizing the significance of our role in him and being careful not to add or take away from it. When I purposely and consciously allow less of me in order to allow him, that is me showing I trust in you, God. 1 Corinthians 3, 5 through 9 says, what after all is Apollos and what is Paul? Only servants. The Bible would be full of their history and their achievements and all that stuff for us to be in awe of them. And that's what it's not. It's recognizing only servants. I've used instruments as the example. You have some excellent musicians out there. You understand that people who can really play certain instruments in a way that some people think is humanly impossible. The thing about it is they can do that with any instrument. So the instrument is just an object used by the professional. You see that? So even more powerful, we are only servants, but the strength and everything comes through the master. So until I get that mindset, I'm going to keep getting in the way. And this is why you see ministers get up there, and when they don't agree with something, they distort it and they change it. Or when they want to add something, they go ahead and add it. They'll tell congregations one thing because they think it's their church and their congregation and their word and their ministry. They make it about them. I don't care what that musician does. We don't look at that instrument and go, that instrument is outstanding. Because we're not. That's why he says, only servants through whom you came to believe. In order for that music to come out, he had to play that instrument. And that's all that instrument was used for. It's only an instrument. We're only servants. As the Lord has assigned to each his task. So if I'm a guitar, be a guitar. Stop being a drum when you're supposed to be a guitar. Are you getting this? You understand it? Know what he's made you to be. Know and adjust in it in a way that he can use you as he assigned. So a big part of my life is to get to know what he made me for. And then he shows how each plays its role. I planted the seed. Apollos watered it. But God made it grow. The significance here is it's God who does the hard work. It's God who does the effective work. We are blessed to be used as an instrument in his hard work. That's it. He said, God made it grow. And then he made clear, so there's no mistaking here, verse 7, so neither he who plants nor he who waters is anything. Sounds like an insult, but it's a humbling understanding of what we play. I don't want credit because I don't deserve credit. But too many times we like to make it seem like, listen to a minister sometimes, and he went through seminary, and he traveled the world, he worked under their masters and teachers, and he read this, and he did this, and look at that, you're giving him a lot of credit. But no, I didn't do anything. I just allowed God. I allowed God. That's what it should be. It says, but only God who makes things grow. The only credit. I made a habit, and I don't want to just always just do it just to do it, but I do it for myself. When somebody gives any compliment, I say, all the glory to God. Because if any way I think it was me, I can get in the way. Do you get it? So he makes clear, verse 8, the man who plants and the man who waters have one purpose. Ah, pay close attention. So if I don't focus on God to what that purpose is, I've already failed. Think about that. There's a lot of people out there thinking they're doing godly things, but when I'm not doing what God made me to be, am I truly doing godly things? That's why he says, and each will be rewarded according to his own labor. For we are God's fellow workers. You are God's field, God's building. There's a part we play. Make sure we're playing our part. Now, it depends on what we choose to consistently focus our minds on. It's going to come down to our thought pattern. If you remember when he told Peter, get behind me, you don't have in mind the things of God, you have in mind the things of men. We all, and when he says in mind, not what comes to mind, not what things, you know, starts to the subconscious, we're talking about the conscious, the thing you choose to focus on. In the Bible, when it speaks of your heart and when it speaks of your heart is your purpose. Your mind is now every other question. You know what I mean? The heart is the why. That's your purpose. The mind is going to be the what, the how, the where, the when, so on and so forth. You understand? It's going to be the pattern of why you did it. I mean, following the heart mind, your actions are going to now be done a certain way based on that. So when he shows us in Romans 8, he gives us an understanding of if the mind is wrong, what happens, and if the mind is right. He says the mind of the sinful man is death. The mind of the sinful man is death. But the mind controlled by the Spirit is life and peace. Now stop for a minute. Because some people think, well, he's talking about the sinful man. But if I'm thinking like that, if I'm thinking through my own mind, then I'm not being controlled by the Spirit. Being controlled by the Spirit, my mind is solely based on what the Spirit says, so I react to you fully based on what the Spirit says. We get people who go off their own intelligence, their own agenda, their own focus, their own desires. That's the mind of a sinful man. And he makes clear the sinful mind is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law. Watch this. Nor can it do so. That sinful mind cannot work. If I'm going off of what I think, and I think I'm working together with God, I'm actually clashing. That's why he said those controlled by the sinful nature cannot please God. So I can call myself a Christian, but when you see me having other agendas, I'm already outside of God. I'm not allowing God. It starts with a total disconnect of the world's ways and completely learning and living God's way. So in Romans 12, verse 2, he says, do not conform any longer to the patterns of this world. We tend to read through this pretty quick, not realizing that part is a must. I can't get to the next part, and then I can't get to the last part unless I do it in this order. So when I have to stop conforming to the patterns of this world, this is the reason why I can't be partners with the world. This is why I can't love the world. I have to recognize that I can't do it the way the world does it. In my human mind, there's going to be many things the world does that are going to make sense. But I don't walk by sense. I walk by faith. I only want God's answer on how to do it. So I got to stop doing things that I learn from things that are not from God. Okay, but then he says something here. He says, be transformed. That transformation is something I allow. Be transformed. He didn't say, go transform yourself. No, he says, be transformed. How? By the renewing of your mind. So my action now is I'm going to his word with a purpose to be transformed. Hopefully you're getting this. So I want his word to give me instruction on what to do, and in me doing so, I'm allowing God to transform me. So it's going to renew my mind. How, when, where. You understand that? It's going to adjust that because I want it to be him. I want to be holy like him. It says, then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is. He has individual will in there because, you know, I play a part in the body. So what is my part? Only way I'll know that is when my mind has been renewed and I'm stopping doing it the world's way. And we just don't do that. You see too many people who have the same attitude, same reaction based on the world and want to still be called godly. You can't do it. It's good, pleasing, and perfect will. So it is up to us to keep that what the word has placed in us to allow for us to have access to eternal life. So we're not just talking about rewards here. We're talking about the whole kit and caboodle. Okay? And remember, it's not me doing something to be righteous. It's me showing that I've accepted what he's offered to the path of righteousness. Okay? So when it shows me that, it shows in 1 John. Perfect example. And 1 John does a great job of really spitting who's a Christian and who's not. 1 John 2, 24-25 says, see that what you have heard from the beginning remains in you. I know we like to think, because you've ever heard people say, well, I read the Bible before, but they know nothing about it. Or when people read it just to say they read it, but they don't remember anything in it. I have the worst memory, but this always feared me to where I have to know this. Before I was even in ministry, I have to know this. Not so I can puff up and look what I knew. I was just scared of not knowing. What's the right answer? Keith, how do you deal with this? And he shows, if it does, I'm saying it again, if it does, if what does, the word remains in me. I don't start getting some other ideologies and start doing things that seem right to me. No, I'm just doing it always what the word says. You don't see me changing because of something changing in my life. I keep it. And if it does, he says, you also will remain. You also will remain, which is implying I could leave. Will remain in the Son and in the Father. You get that? I will stay a Christian as long as his word remains in me. And the way you know his word remains in us is because my actions will display it. Right? And he says, this is what he promised us, even eternal life. So just that little line deep in the New Testament, which is showing us this is a main part of our Christian life on the path to eternity. But I have to choose for his word to be in me. I have to completely live by his word. Now, we will go through trials the right way if we're doing this right. See, when a person doesn't know this, and the mercy thing, they complain about going through trials, and they keep looking at other people, and why did it, I have to go through this, and they don't have to, and like Jesus had to say to Peter, what does he have to do with you? if you knew any sports and the different positions people play, using football as an example, for the roles that they have to play, the linemen's training is going to be different than the quarterback's training, which is going to be different than the running back's training, different than the wide receiver's training. Do you see where I'm going with this? And you don't, as a quarterback, go, why can't I do what the linemen are doing? Because you're not a lineman playing a part in this one team. So in the same way, we then go through the training, and the training is a trial. So we first understand what our training is. James 1, 2 through 4 says, consider it pure joy, my brothers. What it's saying is most sports people don't like practice, but they know what practice is doing for them. So we don't like trials, but we understand what the trial is doing for us. That's why he says, consider it pure joy, my brothers, whenever you face trials of many kinds. It's not just one trial, not your old made-up thing of trial. It's trials of many kinds. He says, because you know. Because you know. And Christians must know. That comes from the renewing of our mind. I already know what I'm going through. If I don't know this, my prayer is I'm just really going through something and this and that and whatever, and I'm putting titles on it and pray for me that I get out of this. Instead of a Christian going, can you continue pray that I stay focused on him as I go through this training process? Know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance. Remember that? Remain in me, right? So here he is, once again, giving me something to help me to do something that I'm responsible for doing. Right? So it's going to develop perseverance. Perseverance is me going through it even when I'm at my wit's end, but I continue to go. I'm going to keep hanging. And he says something here. Perseverance must finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. So I could even slow this process down. If I keep going in circles and I'm not growing in my perseverance, they don't just move me to the next grade. The whole key I must understand is it has to finish. When this is perseverance must finish, it's when I'm at that point where I can't leave, where it's so deep in my nature, it's not even an option. Do you understand? Because you have a lot of Christians that think they're doing God a favor being Christian. And they're just a step away from saying, I'm done. I'm not doing this anymore. Because they really think it's God living for them. They think God owes them something, right? And they're going off that case of, I'm going to do this. When a person goes through perseverance, that means they're hanging in there for God no matter what. Do you understand that? They can go through anything. And there's always going to be focused on, as long as I get God, I'll keep doing it. I mean, so it's never an option to leave. That's never one of the things that comes to mind. Do you understand this? Okay? So it shows us in that perseverance must finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. He's molding us in every way to do what he would have us to do. And no matter what is done or shot at you, you won't lose. We will adjust our relationship with the world, realizing how it allows a true relationship with him. When he says in 1 John 2:15, that's another thing he gives to us. When he says, do not love the world or anything in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. We really don't take this serious, because if you look around, more and more Christians have an allegiance, a closeness, a bond, a loyalty to the world that comes in different forms. You have some people that do it with their right now country. You have some people that do it with where their country they may have came from. You have some people that do it just with the world as a whole. They're more dedicated to nature and things like that. I go down the list of when you can see people having this and it seems so wholesome. It seems so great. And he just told you, don't do it. Once you do that, you don't love me. Not loving him means I'm not a Christian. So we realize the significance of that, and we make sure I'm not loving, which is showing also it's a choice. How I love is a choice. It's not some feeling that I have to wait that comes over me. It's a choice I have to make. Get it? Must not allow things to make us troubled. You're going to feel troubled, but I cannot be troubled. Right? We must trust him and let him work. John 14:1 says, do not let your hearts, remember your purpose, be troubled. See, when my purpose is troubled, I start changing things. See, when I first have a heart for God, I'm doing exactly what my Father tells me. Now watch people. They'll start doing things differently because their hearts were troubled. Their purpose doesn't seem like it's working. They're doing exactly what the word says, but it doesn't seem like it's working. And it's like, well, God, I don't get it. I'm struggling with this because it doesn't seem correct. Right? But when I don't let, because my measuring stick is going to be, Keith, are you doing what he says? And I go back to the word and go, yes. Right? It won't be, hey, everything seems better. Things seem to be working better. It's, are you doing what he says? And if the answer is yes, you're cool. You're good. And in continually doing what he says, that's you trusting in him. God the Son, God the Father. He just trusts us. Trust me. Right? All together, we must live never based on our status, which is our position in life, and our situation, but on God only. So a lot of these may be undesirable, and we recognize that, and we go into it with that mindset. 1 Corinthians 7, 17 to 24 shows us two elements, and I'll explain them. He says in verse 17, nevertheless, each one should retain the place in life, is what he calls the first one, the place in life that the Lord assigned to him. Now, once again, both of these don't mean fight to stay in it. They can never be a purpose of life. And I'll explain what that means. Now, the place in life means what you were born into, what things fell into place that you had no control over, right? Some people were born in a certain area. Certain things happen. You were born a certain way, right? There's certain things that come in that we try to use as our excuse instead of an understanding of what we are in the Lord. So when he says your place in life to which you have been called, this rule I lay down in all the churches. Was a man already circumcised when he was called, he should not become uncircumcised. Was a man uncircumcised when he was called, he should not be circumcised. Those aren't the factors of make what I am. It's Keith, if you happen to be of the Jews who were uncircumcised, now you're a Christian, live for God. And hey, Keith, if you were a Gentile when circumcision came in, do you understand? And who is not circumcised, live for God. Don't say I have to be a Jew first or I probably need to be a Gentile first. No, where I'm at, I'm living for God. Too many times we keep trying to change that place in life, right? I watch people who are going through their life plan and with this mindset of, and don't worry, I'm going to come back to God. Does that make sense? I'm going to allow God to give me this answer. Instead of realizing, no, where I'm at, I'm going to serve and glorify you. He says in verse 19, circumcision is nothing and uncircumcision is nothing. Keeping God's commands is what counts. Did you catch that? So in me, just doing what he says, no matter how I was born, what I was born in, what's going on, is what God's looking at. Remember, just check. Are you doing what he says? Yeah, okay, you're good. But it seems like things are not working for me and it works for those. I didn't ask you that. Are you doing what he says? Right? Then he goes into situations, things that I end up in, things that end up happening to us. And it can be an economy. It can be health. It could be a situation you're in. He said each one should remain in a situation which he was in when God called him. I'll show you like what he means is not to come out of it, but it cannot be that life purpose. It says, were you a slave when you were called? And look at his answer. Don't let it trouble you. Now, when I was thinking through my regular human mind, this struggled. I didn't like that answer. What do you mean don't let it trouble you? It's going back to not let your hearts be troubled. You're in a troubling situation. He's very aware of it. But he was like, but don't live troubled because you are to live for him. We live for God. So there's a reason why it was allowed. Now, it doesn't make it right or wrong. Don't get me wrong. Do you understand this? It doesn't make it right, the thing that you're going through, right or wrong. God will take care of that. But what he's saying, you're in this for a reason. And but he did show, as a side thing, where you say when you're called, don't let it trouble you, although if you can gain your freedom, do so. Right? If a door opens, you can do it, by all means do it. But don't make it your life purpose. And then he makes clear why. For he who was a slave when he was called by the Lord is the Lord's free. Even though you're in slavery on earth, you recognize, oh, but I'm not in bondage, the true bondage, right? This temporary bondage I'm in allows me to still wholeheartedly serve God, right? And he says, similarly, he who was a free man, he won't look at it as favored and I'm so great and look at what God allowed me to do when he was called, is Christ's slave. you see them still show love, compassion, not take the freedoms that offer to them just because of the position they're in. They realize, I have to display Christ. And he makes clear, you were bought at a price. Do not become slaves of men. Brothers, each man as responsible to God. So that means every decision I make, my answer has to be because the word says. That's why I'm doing it. Remain in the situation God called. In a nutshell, I will not just carefully live my life. I will reverently live my life in him in order for him to work in and through me. It all comes down to the understanding is the choice is mine. I have the ability and everything to show that I'm trusting and living in him. Stop allowing outcomes, desires, feelings that come from the regular sight or the faulty fleshly sight. But through faith, you recognize I am showing that I truly trust in him, even when it doesn't seem like it, because I'm walking by faith. I want to live completely allowing him to mold me to 100% what he would love me to be. Let us pray. Dear most heavenly, most gracious Father, thank you so much for allowing me to participate and be used by you, dear Lord. Just help me to stay out the way and to go in the way that you would have me to do and to completely follow you, completely live in you, completely be blessed by you. We thank you so much for the love you continue to show us, dear Lord. Continue to bless family. Help us, dear Lord, to continue to become instruments. Stop allowing the distractions of things going on around us to dictate what we say, what we do, and how we do it. Thank you so much, dear Lord, for the love you continue to show to us. We ask you all these things in your Son, and our Savior, Jesus Christ's name. We say, amen.